Nonsense by H. Beam Piper. Bishop Berkeley's famous question about the sound of a falling tree may have no standing in science. But there is a highly interesting question about sound that science needs to consider. Nonsense, Part 1. The sun warmed Mark Howell's back pleasantly. Underfoot, the moss-like stuff was soft and yielding, and there was a fragrance in the air unlike anything he had ever smelled. He was going to like this planet. He knew it. The question was, how would it and its people like him? He watched the little figures advancing across the fields from the mound, with the village out of sight on the other end of it, and the combat car circling lazily on contragravity above. Major Louis Goffredo, the Marine officer, spoke without lowering his binoculars.
They have a tubular thing about 12 feet long. Six of them are carrying it on poles, three to a side, and a couple more are walking behind it. Mark, do you think it could be a cannon?
So far he didn't know enough to have an opinion, and said so, adding, What I saw of the village in the screen from the car, it looked pretty primitive. Of course, gunpowder is one of those things a primitive people could discover by accident, if the ingredients were available.
We won't take any chances, then.
You think they're hostile? I was hoping they were coming out to parley with us. That was Paul Millard. He had a right to be anxious. His whole future in the colonial office would be made or ruined by what was going to happen here. The Joint Space Navy Colonial Office expedition was looking for new planets suitable for colonization. They had been out now for 4 years, which was close to maximum for an exploring expedition. They had entered 11 systems and made landings on 8 planets. 3 had been reasonably close to Terra type. There had been Fafnir. Conditions there would correspond to Terra during the Cretaceous period, but any Cretaceous dinosaur would have been cute and cuddly to the things on Fafnir. Then there had been Imhotep. In 20 or 30,000 years it would be a fine planet, but at present it was undergoing an extensive glaciation. And Erminsul, covered with forests of gigantic trees. It would have been fine except for the fauna, which was nasty, especially a race of subsapient near-humanoids who had just gotten as far as clubs and coup-de-poing axes. Contact with them had entailed heavy ammunition expenditure, with 2 men and a woman killed, and 12 injured. He'd had a limp himself for a while as a result. As for the other 5, one had been an all-out hell planet, and the rest had been the sort that get colonized by irreconcilable minority groups who want to get away from everybody else. The colonial office wouldn't even consider any of them. Then they had found this one, 3rd of a geostar, 80 million miles from primary, less axial inclination than Terra, which would mean a more uniform year-round temperature, and about half land surface. On the evidence of a couple of sneak landings for specimens, the biochemistry was identical with Terra's, and the organic matter was edible. It was the sort of planet every explorer dreams of finding, except for one thing. It was inhabited by a sapient humanoid race, and some of them were civilized enough to put it in Class 5, and colonial office doctrine in Class 5 planets was rigid. Friendly relations with the natives had to be established, and permission to settle had to be guaranteed in a treaty of some sort with somebody more or less authorized to make one. If Paul Millard could accomplish that, he had it made. He could stay on with 40 or 50 of the ship's company to make preparations. In a year a couple of ships would come out from Terra with 1,000 colonists and a battalion or so of Federation troops to protect them from the natives, and vice versa. Millard would automatically be appointed.